It has been called one of the last climate change holdouts in Canada's north. While other parts of the Canadian Arctic were warming up, the Hudson Bay lowlands had, for years, remained stubbornly cool. But perhaps not any longer. A new study out of Queen's University suggests temperatures in the Hudson Bay lowlands have been rising at an exceptional pace. Kathleen Ruland is a research scientist at Queen's. She's the study's lead author, and we've reached her at the university. Hi there.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm fine. For people who don't know, what are the Hudson Bay lowlands?
Well, the Hudson Bay lowlands are located on the western shoreline of Hudson Bay, and they're a pretty interesting ecosystem. It's one of the southernmost subarctic regions in Canada, and it's dominated by peatlands and permafrost and a lot of lakes. So it's quite sensitive to any changes in warming.
And what have we seen happen to them then?
Well, this is a region that's maintained, you know, pretty stable temperatures for a long time, and some of our records from our colleagues, but also from ourselves, have found that over the last 200 and maybe even longer, things have really remained quite stable. And then since about 1990, there's been a real shift here. So there's an increase in temperature and a decrease in the sea ice here. And they feed back on each other, and we're seeing a dramatic or extraordinary increase in temperature here.
How can you describe those changes in the sea ice that you're seeing when you're saying it's dramatic?
Yeah, so this isn't part of our study, but it's, you know, connected in a sense that we're interested in this and the lake ecosystems here. But the sea ice here has increased in its open water period in a very short period of time by about 3 to 5 weeks. So we have a longer open water period now than we have just in the last 15 years ago. And that, of course, has major repercussions on the ecosystem, including the polar bears. This is also the southernmost region where we get polar bears in Canada. And they rely on the permafrost for denning sites, but also the sea ice as a platform for seals, for hunting seals in the winter. So a decrease or a lengthening of the open water season like that really has negative repercussions on polar bears, but also on other parts of the ecosystem as well. And it will feed back on the climate. So a decrease in sea ice will then increase temperatures. So it will be a positive feedback loop.
When you said since 1990, right?
Yeah, that's when we see the most dramatic increases. There's been a shift there.
All right. Is it unusual to see that kind of rapid shift, or are you talking about that this is when it was first noticed?
Yeah, well, we've done research throughout the Canadian Arctic, and we have colleagues that have also worked in other parts of the Circumarctic in different countries. And all throughout the Arctic, we're seeing a shift in the biological communities of lakes that's consistent with warming, and that's occurred over the last 100 years ago or so. And Hudson Bay, or the eastern Canadian Arctic, is one of the regions that have really not changed at all. So this is a real holdout here. And so it's extraordinary in a sense that, you know, this is the last kind of Arctic refugium that we're now quickly losing, and it is quite rapid. So, you know, our study went out to see whether we can already see changes in the biological communities of these lakes within just a short 15-year period. So, previous to 1990, the temperature records here, and we have temperature records for that time period in the Arctic, it's quite rare. We're seeing that previous to the 1990s, we're really seeing very little temperature change. So even cooling, a slight cooling in some regions. But post-1990, then we're seeing very dramatic increases in air temperature, but also in sea surface temperatures.
If when we're seeing those kind of changes, though, can you expand a little bit on how you're seeing local wildlife affected?
Local wildlife is, yeah, so we have our colleagues at Laurentian University. This is one of the impetus for our study, is that they noticed in 2001 was a particularly warm year where they had temperatures exceeding 30 degrees Celsius. And they looked at anadromous fish, or fish that come from the sea, the Hudson Bay area, and they go up the rivers to spawn. And the Sutton River, which is where our study is located in the Holly Lake area, the Sutton River was extremely warm. So as the fish made their way up the river to spawn, they were met by these very warm waters, and they suffered from thermal stress, and we had a major fish die-off of these brook char here. So that was an indication to us that if that's happening already here, can we see those kind of changes in the lake ecosystems as well? That's on the sea system. Now can we see them in the freshwater ecosystems and the terrestrial system?
And I'm guessing there would be Inuit populations also affected.
Yeah, this is a region that's populated mostly by First Nations Cree on the shorelines along the western side of Hudson Bay where we are. But yes, they would be affected as well, of course, because their traditional hunting and fishing routes would be disturbed with these, you know, extreme weather patterns and this change in climate. So we know, for example, that they rely on ice roads to do their hunting and fishing in the wintertime. There's no roads here. It's very remote. So now they're saying that because they're so unpredictable, they're now avoiding lakes altogether because the ice on the lakes are not predictable and they would lose their snow machines through the ice. So, of course, a direct route is no longer possible. So that's the kind of thing that they're starting to have to adapt to, you know.
Is there anything that can be done to stop the temperature increase or slow it down? Is that part of the study?
That's a really good question, and it's a tough question to answer because, you know, it's obviously it's not a good news story, and there's no real simple solutions here. But these are, I think, issues that require real political change, and these are the kind of changes that should be based on, I think, sound science. So what our study shows, I think, is that this is not an issue that's dropping in importance. And we're always finding new surprises with these kind of changes. And I think basically what it comes down to is, you know, reducing carbon emissions. And, you know, that's the tough question.
As somebody who's been up there studying the lowlands, do the findings have an emotional impact for you too?
In a sense, yeah, because I've been up there, you know, and my colleagues, especially, you know, Bill Keller from Laurentian University and Andrew Patterson from the Ministry of the Environment, we've been up there for 3 or 4 years every summer, and it's a really beautiful region, and you know, it is a sad kind of, it is sad just to see that we are, you know, witnessing the loss of this Arctic ecosystem, and, you know, there's people that live up there, and of course they're trying to adapt to this, but also the wildlife, you know, it's a very sad case where the polar bears, you know, are struggling as well. So, yeah, it's an emotional connection for sure.
Joel just tweeted us saying it was just up northwest of Hudson Bay Shore in July. It was 27 when it was 22 in Ottawa. And he says grizzly bears have now made it up that far.
Is what That's he tweets. Great.
Kathleen, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you for your time then.
That's Kathleen Ruland, biology research scientist at Queen's University, lead author of a new study on rising temperatures in the Hudson Bay lowlands. And that study was published today in the Proceedings of the Royal Society Journal. Joel just tweeted us, CBC All in a Day. You can do that, or you can also email us allinaday@cbc.ca.